Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everybody. Good morning, Chief. This is the 27th day of August, and we are doing what we do once again. This is my favorite time of the year. It is officially Virgo season. Yeah, baby! Oh, y'all little suckers who sit on the side and let the leaders come through. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Roger Smith. His birthday is coming up in a couple of days, and we will not be on air for it. So I wanted to give him his early flowers. Mine is actually, we won't be on air for that either. It's, well, basically a week after Rodney. And shout out to everybody, man, that's throwing that Virgo love up and celebrating their time of year right now. My uncle had his birthday the other day. Unfortunately, he has lost his sister and his grandmother. So I wanted to shout him out as well. He suffered a whole lot of losses, man, but none more powerful than those two back to back, because he was basically raised by his sister, and then, you know, his grandmother's always been his rock. So today they bury her and whatnot. So I wanted to give him that shout out without a doubt. But uplift him and the family on that side of things. But today we're going to do some work on relationships. I wanted to talk about this whole man-woman thing, man, because this thing here, this thing here, Rodney, I don't know how y'all used to do it back in the day, I swear for the Lord, but, you know, what did y'all do, Rodney, back in the day? Y'all do telegrams? I mean, was it Pony Express? I mean, what was it? I mean, let me be just a little bit disrespectful.
Hey, man, don't play them games. Hey, don't be playing them games. Mr. Rodney, don't let him do that.
How'd y'all do it, Rodney? I mean, you know, you sent the letter in the bottle, and, you know, it just drifted. 3 months later, goddamn, I mean, I don't understand what's going on there.
Now, Lee, you know we use the drums, man. Come on, brother.
Oh, okay.
The drums, that's the voice of the community. And then if that didn't work, you know, you had some timber. throw up some smoke signals. Come on, man.
Man, bro, I'm telling you, man, like, you know, I obviously I've been sending you all stuff. You all been sending. It's just the everyday stuff in the news. It's, well, not necessarily in the news. The sensationalist shows, I'll say that. Man, I'm telling you, it's rough out here, bro. It is so rough. And it's equivalent on, I really want people to understand that. Because I hear from sisters about men all day long, but I hear others about women all day long. It's like, yo, why are we so disconnected? And then I saw a clip of an interview that Tank did not too long ago, and it was talking about the death of R&B. And one of the things he said was, you know, R&B is under attack because it's our love language. And us being stereotypical or negative and destructive to one another is what the enemy wants to promote. So you'll always see that our love is the most dangerous thing. And that's why you're not seeing that as prolifically as you used to. But then, you know, I've made this argument in private. I don't know if I made it in public, but when Luther passed, then you had Gerald LaVert pass, and there has not been as strong of a solo male singer, in my opinion. You can check me if you know somebody else as far as an R&B crooner, an R&B crooner. Since Gerald LaVert, I don't know him. Don't know him. I really don't. You get these boys that throw little songs here, little songs there, but I don't know. I'm talking about that can make it and get it going on, make you want to pull out the blue lighter down in the basement. I don't know. I ain't seen them. I ain't heard about them. You know, and that's a problem. That's a problem. You know, we've gone from I want to hold your hand, take a walk, I just want to get to know your name, to, you know, I want to fuck you in the booty hole, and I want you, like, where did this come from? Like, what? You don't talk to women like that. You don't talk about women like that in public. You might do it in it amongst your people, but you don't do that in public. But these are the songs that are flooding the airwaves. And you know, again, we go back to our conversation in person, Rodney. Programming is called programming for a reason. So now you get the music going that way. The television has been diverted because now you see women whom for a very long time, for right, wrong, or indifferent, men put on the pedestal, blah, blah, blah. But now they're all combative and catty and hold on, dude, bitch, don't. You see this in television, day in, day out. People have made careers off of this crap. Non-actors. These are, quote-unquote, real people. That's why it's called, quote-unquote, reality television. This is, you pump this every day. You got this show, you got that show, Real This, Married That, House whatever, House Guest, House Mate. I don't know. It's so much foolishness. And then, there you go. You figure it out. Y'all make it work. You can do it. What? And Rodney, I feel for you. You know, you're out here on the hunt for Red October for your son. And it's like, dog, I don't want to be 30-ish again. I don't want to be 20-ish again. I really don't. And deal with her? Nah, dog. Nah. And then, you know, I've gotten older, so my things have changed, you know. Like all these tattoos and stuff, that's just a no-go for me. and more young ladies are getting more and more tattoos and more obvious and bold places. It's an instant turn. I don't care how fine you are. I don't care how cool you are. Yeah, no. Because in my head, there's only but so much you can cover that. And if you got to do that just to go outside, why'd you do it in the first place? Yeah, I don't want to be, and Rodney, we did this. We went to the cigar lounge, right? And the brother was giving a spiel about the lounge, and, you know, I was asking about the demographics, and, you know, he told me about the sisters that come through. That's a turnoff for me. I'm not trying to be smoking a cigar next to my lady. That's not for me. For me, that's not cool. Not. You know, I call it what you want to call it. Call me prehistoric. Call me an ass. Call me whatever you want to call it. Call me whatever you want to call me. But there's a time and a place for everything. And I think we got along so much better when we spent some more time apart. He went to the lodge. He went to the VFW. He went to the DAV. She, with her friends, did the tea parties, the card parties, the Tupperware party, whatever. Whatever. You go to your corner, be with your friends. I'm going to my corner, be with my friends. We're going to come back together. We're going to get in. We're going to keep it moving. We did so much better.
Lee.
Yes.
Lee, I'm going to need you to bust open your behavior parameters that you have for women, okay? I'm going to need you to completely, first of all, I want you to think about what is it that women do say that 100% shapes whether or not a man's behavior is within the acceptable behavior. All we ask y'all to do is not punch us in the face. But if y'all have tattoos over both of y'all eyes, you can still be attractive. If there's no nothing, maybe we don't like when the shoes is ran over, but we'll buy you some shoes. The idea here is there's this list of acceptable behavior for women, where they should be, how long they should be there, what they should be doing
That's not true. I'm not going to let you railroad me. That is not true. And that is not what I was going at all. It's not about acceptable at all. I backtrack from that. You are right. There are acceptable limits to everyone, sis. Everyone. And this thing is a team sport. And in any team, you got to play your position. You got to play your position, whatever that position is. The quarterback can't go run to the running back. Yo, I don't like the way you running routes. Dog, then play my position. Play my position. Well, I can't play your position. Then shut up, because it's not your position. This is what I need
The positions that we have allocated are not indicative of what we are capable of and how far we have grown socially as a group of
I don't know that. But how is it you walking out the house? And I said the same thing to my son. How is it you walking out the house looking like a graffiti board and expression? Because it could be an expression.
Because every tattoo.
But a reflection of your womanhood.
It's not about womanhood. It's a reflection of your agency, your personhood, your ability to choose and dictate what you want your physical form to look like. It's about being able to make it.
But there are repercussions for that.
And I want you to think about Toni Morrison's idea of the white gaze, right? The white gaze. The white gaze The idea is how much of our behavior is dictated by how we have to act or want to be perceived by white people. How much of our art are we trying to align to white or European standards? Our clothing, our hygiene, our nutrition. How much of it is just what we say we would like to do because this is our culture? How much of it is someone else's ideology being imposed on it? And so what I need you to hear is that in this instance, there's a male gaze. There's a male gaze. And that male gaze is very dictating on where women should be, how long they should be there, what they should be doing while they're there, and who they should be doing it with. And that is something that we don't get to impose on men unless we just want to go and call them a man whore.
That's bull crap. Hey, look, women dictate to men all the time, if you want to be with me, you ain't going to do this, that, and or you ain't going to go here, boom, boom, boom. And damn sure you ain't hanging out with Toni. You damn sure ain't going to, but you and Toni should never come out your mouth if you want to be with me. That ain't going to work. We tried it the one time. Remember that time? We're not going down that road again. That's bullshit. That is absolute bullcrap. Women do do that. Women absolutely do that. And men follow if they want to be with you. What part of that equation have you not seen in your life? Because I've seen it plenty of times.
I have maybe seen a couple of relationships where the woman was in charge, but she was in charge because she had all the money. And so when you get relationships where the power is equal, you tend not to have, it's him. It's not her who's relaxing her standards. It's him who's having to relax his control standards so that he can accommodate a woman of a new era.
Okay, so dig this. Have you ever been in Walmart or, hell, Costco? Costco, Sam's Club, Target. I don't know if y'all got Kroger out there, Kroger, Albertson. Anyhow, you ever seen an old white couple walk around the store? Have you ever seen an old white couple walk around the store?
Yeah,
he is in the lead. She is in the lead. He is behind. And she is saying, come on. He said, yes, dear. What you mean? I tell any woman that is even remotely thinking about getting serious with me, treat me like an old white man. That's how I want to be treated. Tell me what you need, when you need it, you got it, and that's it. We ain't got to argue. We ain't got to fuss. I already know you in control. We've said this a million and one times. The women's lib movement was not about black women. Black women had the control. They had the respect. They had the equality. It was about white women trying to imitate what black women had. So I don't get where you coming from with this, women are not in control. What you mean? Black men have always recognized that women were in control. The caveat is and was you all knew how to speak to us, to give us that feeling and impression that we had some dignity and we had a degree of control. Knowing full damn well when that door closed, we had. And I remember when Martin and Gina got in, and Gina went in the bedroom, and Martin went behind her, and Martin came out the bedroom, and Tom's like, "What happened?" He's like, "I told her what it was." He's like, "Uh huh." In here, you told her what it was, but in there, different story. Come on, man. We all know what side our butter is bread. Our bread is buttered on. We ain't foolish.
So we're in two different ideas. One is what it would take to it be attractive enough to forge a relationship with someone. The other one is once you are in this relationship, the parameters that you say, if we do this, like this, then we should be fine, you and I together. Now, if at any time that the person who you meet has to do any kind of significant changes in order to be the person that you be with, then it's not going. It's already a done deal because the amount of rules that we are able to impose on each other are different based on power, and in general, women don't want to be considered cast-off women, so they'll do whatever it takes to be considered the most important person, you know, in a person's life. That dynamic of me not wanting to be alone, that's what they call it. I don't know what that is, but they say they don't want to die alone. The power men have of holding, it holds a power of attachment, the power of attachment. And so while you think it's equal and while you think it may, no, not even equal, that we hold the reign, I can guarantee you, Lee, that the fact that we can't ask men to change as much as men ask us to change when we engage in a relationship, just show you.
Time out. Rodney Smith.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever dated a woman? In your getting to know this woman, in the dating process, in the relationship process, have you not changed? Did you not see yourself change significantly in order to be with her?
I would definitely say there's change place.
I'm sorry, say that one more time. I lost you for a second. You would say what?
I would definitely say there's change that takes place.
Okay, so I'm sitting here, I'm listening to Rashi speak, and I'm perplexed. You see the look upon my face. I'm totally confused and dismayed because I know, as a man dealing with a woman, there is no freaking way in the world that I can remain the same dude that I was walking into that relationship throughout that relationship if I want to keep that relationship. And I tell you why. One of my big things, I don't like sharing my food. It irritates my soul. Do not eat off my plate.
We ask for your time, Lee. We ask for a little bit of your food. And mostly we ask for you not to share your body intimately. Mm-hmm. And in the in the same way that you share it with me, not to do that with other
no.
people.
That's not
now,
true.
You say
because
other women. You say other women.
Right. Now you got to clean it up. But now it's not only just intimately, it's emotionally. It's conversation. Well, you're conversationally cheating. What is conversational cheating? What is this going on over here? Well, you talking to her more than you talking to me. What is that? I don't get it. I'm not talking to you because you text me 50 freaking times a day. And every time you text me, you insist that I respond to your text. Because if I don't respond to your text, you got an attitude. Oh, you can't respond to my text message. What was there to respond to? You didn't give me anything. You just gave me information. But Lord knows, if I don't respond, I'm going to get an attitude.
What was you
on.
Doing?
So let me
I want to know. What we asked for is your time, right? So what was you doing with the time that with that before we were together?
Nothing.
What was your time like?
Nothing. I wasn't doing nothing. You know what's the best thing a man can do? Nothing. That is the greatest thing a man can do. Absolutely freaking nothing. I wasn't doing crap. I was sitting at the house watching ESPN, chilling. That's all I was doing. That was the height of my day. I look forward to that. But then you came along. You want
to
cuddle.
So now,
you
let's
wanna,
go to Target. Let's
talk.
Go to the farmer's market. That's
right.
Let's go out.
You want to cuddle.
Right.
Tell me how you feel. I don't want to talk about how I feel. I don't even know how I feel. How am I going to tell you? What are you talking about over here?
All right, well, what do men ask for? What kind of change do you ask for?
I don't ask for a lot.
Well, you ask her please not to smash other dudes or people as hard as she's smashing you, right? You ask for her
ask me a question. First off, I would not be attracted to you if you were tatted up. That's not attractive to me. That's a turnoff. We're not even going there. So if we're together and, you know, you set the smash thing, no, honestly, and this may sound crazy, but I don't care at this point in my life. I really don't. Just don't bring no craziness home. I don't care. I don't have the energy to care at this point in my life, to be honest. I really don't. It makes no damn difference to me. I don't have the energy. I don't want to see nobody, hear about nobody, and you not bring no drama to the crib. I don't care. I really don't. But that's me. But you know, the tattoos and stuff, that's a change. That would require you to go to a doctor and have, you know, removals and stuff. I'm not asking anybody to do that. That was your choice. But your choice has consequences. Your choice has consequences. Every choice has consequences, positive or negative. And you could be missing out on a great person. And I too could be missing out on a great person because of my stance. But that's okay. That's a risk that I'm willing to take because of the life that I live. And I live a life that, as much as I try to lowball it, I'm in the public eye at a moment's notice. There's a cookout today that I'm going to after the show. Gubernatorial candidate. For the state of Maryland, all are going to be there. I'm not showing up with somebody that has a penis tattooed on the side of the face. We're not doing that. You're not going to be my plus one. I'm sorry. I'm not showing up with someone who has
reproductive rights. She's there as the leading advocate for the community, grassroots community of organizations for reproductive rights. It's about the ideology and the life in her mind. This is a thing that we have to address, Lee. We have to address these decisions we decide in our own mind about mm-hmm. what kind of person would put a penis on the side of their face. And if they're not all subculture deviants. It's an opinion that we have now of people who have decided that's your culture over there that doesn't do penis tattoos on face, and this is our culture over here. But guess what? Both of them are valid. Both of them should eat. All of them should have rights. All of them should have equal representation under the law. And then, you don't know what's happening. She could have got that penis there to cover up a scar from when somebody had hurt her. And she had to, remind her.
Very much
you
true.
Don't know the story behind the penis. This is what I'm.
Very
what
much
I
true.
Want to
I met a, I met a, I met a young lady. She was tatted up all around. I was like, oh. She's like, no. Actually, I was in a fire as a kid. I had scarring pretty much over my whole body, and I decided to not allow the scars to define me. I wanted to beautify them. Tattoos, got it, good for you. That's your thing. God bless you. You know what I'm saying? Have at it. Not my thing. And I don't have to ride in that boat with you.
God bless you. Now, slowly back away from me. Thank you very much.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's not my thing.
I don't
have to ride in that boat with you. That's my choice. You know, just like it was your choice to do your thing, I have a choice to do my thing. I respect yours, you respect mine, and we're good. We're good. Like I said, I could be missing out on a great person. Very well could be. And that's okay. That's my choice. I'm not saying that you can't.
Back in the day.
I'm just saying I'm not riding that boat. Back in the day.
Mr. Rodney.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Mr. Rodney, back in the day, how easy was it to date a white woman?
Oh, Lord.
Wow. It It was not easy at all.
I mean, I'm not talking about some, you know, blowed out attic that you found behind a dumpster. I'm talking about an actual, her people love her, educated, you know, with the bangs and all that, white lady. How easy was it to find yourself on a date with her?
It was not easy at all. It was not something that was normal. You didn't really see it. You got to remember that it's only been fairly recently in the South that black and white people could even get married due to miscegenation laws. So it was a very rare thing.
Now, in that, because that was so rare, would you say that there were some attributes about female whiteness that when you saw something like that in black women, it would make that black woman more attractive, almost like getting a white lady without having to deal with the repercussions of being seen with a white lady?
If you're talking about personality, you know, character traits, things like that, no, because there was nothing that a white person had really that was attractive to a black person any more than what a sister already had. As a matter of fact, there was a certain level of fear. And if not to the extent of fear, knowledge that was the true forbidden fruit, because that could get you hung, tarred and feathered, mutilated, shot, burned at the stake. There's a whole lot of things that happened to brothers who associated with white women. So in general, we tried to, I mean, things were segregated, but even when you had an opportunity to come in close proximity of white women, they, like I said, that's kind of forbidden fruit. You kind of stayed away. And so in general, the only attraction that a white woman had was because of beauty standards. And so sometimes their hair, and especially because it comes in different colors, because it was different, you know, attracted our attention. You know, when I was a kid, we weren't allowed to look in white people's eyes, so you really didn't know what color their eyes were. But from a distance, you could see their hair. But besides that, they didn't have the bodies of a sister. Most of the time, you know, we didn't know that much about them other than to stay away from them.
Our guest is on, and when you spoke about the different colors of hair, I immediately thought about her because Jackie will throw some different color in her hair. Like it ain't nobody's business. Good morning, Quinn. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning. Good morning.
I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I was talking about some of my preferences when it came to women, and Rashi beat me up because she said that I can't tell women what to do, and women need to be free and doing what they want to do, and I did not disagree with that at all. I was stating clearly and concisely that there were some physical things that were instant detractors for me. Tattoos were the first thing that I said. When they're, you know, a multitude of them, and they're in extremely obvious places. I got a chuckle out of Rodney when I said the penis tattoo on the face, but I was serious about that. You know, I'm not attracted to women that smoke. Like, that's just not my thing. You smoke a cigarette, I don't care how fine you are, how cool you are. Nah, I'm good. I'm good with that. I don't want to kiss ass. And I'm a kisser. I love to kiss.
How you doing, Miss Jackie? How you doing today, Miss Jackie?
So,
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad to hear your voice again. You know,
thank you so much.
We didn't have this conversation, you know, before about what his idea, you know, of what women should be up to. You know, what we should be doing.
That's
and
not
I, and
what
it
I
is,
said.
what I love is at least he's willing to admit it's a personal preference. Our problem, Miss Jackie, is that his personal preference is actually because, you know, at what was the social standard or law or rule, not a law. They never put it in the law, but they did make it almost a rule.
An unspoken, right, yeah.
And what we can be up to. We can congregate. And it's like that with up in some countries, too. You don't find mixed company, you know, groups in a lot of countries because the parameters of what women are allowed to do not include kicking it with dudes. And so
right.
Here in America, in America, they said each one is free to develop their own personality and character under the rules and laws of the Constitution. However, there is, to me, a smaller, quieter woman's constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot to do with how much of our breast tissue should be visible, how long our eyelashes to be, how wide, you know, it's got a whole,
hold on,
you know,
don't nobody need no dad, don't nobody need a on that. Come on.
So whether it's,
come on.
I mean, and we're part of the bridge generation, Miss Jackie, and that our before us was the slip people. Are you a member of the slip crew?
I remember those days, and I hated wearing a slip because I felt so restricted.
Okay.
Like,
well, once you got a certain size, they made you put on the spandex underwear because talking about you being pornographic, just your regular body and regular underwear is pornographic. You got to put on these support holes. You got to put on this slip. You got to put on this, you know, so much of our reality is an unspoken constitution but it's to keep our virtue. It's not for our comfort. It's not because it'll make us smarter or healthier. It's so that when people look at us, instead of saying, oh, look at that hoe, they can say, oh, look at that nice, you know, mature elder or whatever. But there is no lack of terms for women who don't comply. If you don't put that damn slip on and you 70, you are old hoe. If you don't put the slip on and you 12, you a fast ass. And it's just there is no room for a woman to just become whoever she want to be, even if it is an old hoe.
So, and a lot of this is stigma created by men to, it's crazy to me because I think about this often. It's stigma created by men to, and I feel like to, I'm not going to say control, but I just think to dictate how we should present our femininity. And I think because of that, I think when I think of women today, we suffer from a lot of insecurity created by these male-driven rules. You have to have a certain body type in order for a man to be attracted to you, but we're supposed to be covered up when you have, I mean, you know, overall. So if I want to present myself because I'm a person that, yeah, I don't like having a whole lot of clothes on, but if I dress a certain way, right, then the label associated with that is I'm hot in the ass, or what else? That I'm easy, you know what I'm saying? But that may not be the case. And so all of these labels were created, I feel like, as a way of restricting us. And is it fair? No. But I think also with that being said, it created a lot of insecurity issues in women overall, because we're trying to live up to a certain expectation in some cases. But go ahead, Brother Lee.
Okay, so my question was, draws or no draws? Is that like the third time you said you don't like to wear a whole lot of clothes? So I'm trying to understand, you going to what?
You asking her about, is she going commando? You know what?
Yes.
But I'm open enough to answer that question. I am a person at some point that will probably end up living in a nudist community because I never liked wearing clothes, right? I always talk about being naked, but not just being naked in terms of not having clothes, but just
right.
being totally
right.
naked all the way around.
Okay.
So that's where I'm coming
you.
From.
Okay.
Now here's the problem. Y'all can have your whole opinion of what we should do. That's fine. It is when we decide, we start looking at each other like how well women start judging each other on how well we are conforming to the unspoken rules that y'all have placed in society for us. What the hell is going on there? So at some point, other women, instead of saying, you know, oh, well, look at her. She has decided to live her best life like that. We like, oh, Lord, look at her. She out here thirst trapping, catfishing. We got a whole list.
And that's true, yeah.
A terminology for women who refuse to put their love up and bring their persona back down so that they can be next. Now, this is an actual issue, Lee. It's called the Pick Me Crew. The Pick Me Crew.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Pick Me Crew, other women actually... they down and verbally, you know, reprimand each other for whether or not they could be picked. Like, not are they good people or not, but would a man pick you? And so they, you know, shut up with your fat self, ugly self, black self, bald head self. We got a whole list of terms for women who are not conforming to the pick me culture. And I'm like,
but Rossi,
what do y'all
about,
have to do? If it ain't no, what is it, a man girdle? Is this a man heels? Is there a man? Is there man lashes? Is there something that can push up man titties? Is there something that can make y'all's balls look smaller? Is there a, what is it? What do y'all, do?
We need to be tall. We need to have better hair. We need to stay well-groomed 24/7, smell nice. We need to dress nice. We need to not dusty shoes. But other than that, no, we ain't got to read. We ain't got to be able to read. You know, sometimes we just got to look cute. That's about it. But that's what we got to do. But when you deal within a society that tends to be male dominated, and the male tends to be the breadwinner, he has to think about the entirety of the package. He has to. Again, you're not showing up to the cookout with me, meeting the next potential governor of the state, and you got Piru, you got a whole daggone arm sleeve on both daggone arms. We ain't doing that. I'm not doing it. Now, whatever someone else chooses to do is up to them, but you ain't doing that with me. You have a right to have it. Absolutely. I'm the fact that you have a right to do so. I'm just stating that your exercising of that right takes you out of the boat riding with me. That's it. There's nothing wrong with that. You have your personal preferences. I have mine. It is what I'm not mad at. I'm not disappointed in you. That was your choice.
Mm-hmm.
I support your choice. I might roll up on you. I love it. Looks nice. But you ain't ride with me on that shit. I can still like it. I can still like it. But that don't mean we gonna be in it together. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's that. That. And one of the issues is this false myth of it has to be this way or you're anti. No. No. Just because it ain't cracking your way don't mean I'm against you. I'm not against you. I'm still for you. I'm just not for you with me. And I can do that. Just like you do whatever you do with yours. You know what I'm saying? I said, and Jackie, I'll put this stuff, you know, not only the smoking thing, but I was talking about the cigars. I don't find it attractive of women smoking cigars.
I'm with you on that.
I do not find that attractive. I'm trying to be at the bar with my boys and my girl. That's not the place for the two to meet in my world. It's not the place for the two to meet. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, but if that's what you want to do, that's, blaze it up. Do your thing. Not attractive at all. You know what I'm saying? Brother Rodney, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. You've been real quiet. Get yourself on in here. Get some of this heat.
Well, actually, Lee, I usually prefer not to jump in the deep water if I'm not willing to put on some snorkels and stuff.
If you said it, you said.
You know what? I just think that. I will say what I said in the chat is that you just should have had a show with women on it, and so they can talk about how horrible we are, all the things that we don't do, and how perfect they are, and how their opinions are the only opinions that count, and
that
they
matter.
Only want our opinion when they ask for it, and then after we give it to them, because we know that's a trap from the beginning, when we give it to them, they then have something to beat us down with because we probably didn't say it right, didn't say the right words, or whatever it is that is negative in their mind. And so usually I don't participate in those types of conversations because I don't see the growth in either one of us because they don't believe we should have preferences. And all I've heard you say is for you. Your preference is
I don't like
a tatted woman. I'm not down with smoking and et cetera, et cetera. And then what I saw from the other side, because yes, there is two sides to this, what I heard from the other side is how you are domineering.
No, call her out. Call her out. It
construct.
Was Rocky. It was Rod Key. That's what you heard. You heard it from Rod Key. Call her out, Rodney. Call her out.
So that, that you just fell into the social construct of the white man, which is horrible. That's what I got. And that is very unfortunate because the reality of it is that black men have loved black women since we have been in this country and on this earth.
We're not saying, Brother Rodney, we're not saying y'all don't love us. Nobody said y'all didn't love us. Brother Rodney, what is it you love?
Still date.
Could you let me say
and
this?
Still have a,
see, that's the point.
Still. I'm sorry.
No, she was cutting you off. She was cutting you off. I was trying to cut her off and cut you off. Sorry, Ronnie, finish your point. You only believe you should have a point.
You're having
an opinion.
So this is typically what happens in conversations, right? Is that when,
yes, I agree.
When they ask us to share how we really feel, how we really, what our beliefs are or our preferences, we do get cut off, because what we say to them is of very little value, is not respected, and deemed wrong almost the moment that they asked us before we even spoke, because they have a predetermination that whatever we say is going to be something negative. So,
now, may I say something?
What typically works, and this is a problem, and I'm stating it as a problem, because a man, a brother, typically wants peace in the home, because we go out and we war, and people are warring against us all day, and when we come home, this is what Southern girls used to know anyway, but when we would come home, we just want peace. And that's it. Don't want to argue, don't want to fight, don't want to have discussions of little significance to us, but we tend to do it, and so we listen, but in fact, we tend to agree. You want that? Okay, go ahead. You like that?
Okay.
That's nice. We do a lot of that so that there is no argument, so that we could maintain the peace. And when they say, and I'll tell this to all brothers, as soon as they ask you, I want to know what you really think, or you're not talking, I want you to talk more.
It's a trap. And I would have to agree with you on that. And, you know, I'm always, and I know I make a lot of women mad when I say this, but it is a fact. We haven't, as women, one, we forgot our roles as women. Number two, we don't provide
I just want to say this one part. You said know your role. Boy, you got Rashi over there flipping and back and flip. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
So, but I mean, and knowing our roles, right? That what comes with that is understanding your femininity. So we have forgotten to provide a safe space for a man to openly express, because we're not willing to listen. We want to dispute everything that he says, and then we're wondering why the relationships are at a crossroads or failing, because we forgot our roles as women. And I'm just going to leave that right there.
Lee, this is a good thing that this is a podcast, so people can go back and review it, just so everybody knows this is being recorded. Just before you say anything else that may cause you to lose your woman card, specifically your black woman card, you know, full disclosure, this will be available for people to listen to later.
I believe in a woman to choose her place, too. We're saying the same thing. A woman does have her role, but she chooses it. You don't get to choose it. She chooses her role, and she gets to move. And she gets to change it when it needs to be changed.
Roxy, let me explain this. I'm going to go on mute from there. We live in a society where it's 12 to 1, 12 black women and one man. I don't understand how mathematically they feel like they're doing a choosing when the chance is the man. When you devalue what's least for what's most, that's an understanding of how the market works. The man, for the most part, he decides which woman he's going to accept. He don't have to accept these women. Part of the issue that we have in our community is a lot of our sisters are just used to being side chicks, and they have side chick syndrome, and they don't want to be the main chick. And they don't even want to be in a heterosexual relationship. That's why they normalize lesbianism. We just don't want to be honest with the situation and say what's really going on in our community. It's a lot of dysfunction. And a lot of us are comfortable
with dysfunction.
We do not care about how dysfunctional it is. We don't care about how much dysfunction we pass on to our children. It's all about self. It starts with I first. And that's why we're losing compared to every other melanated group. Because those other groups, they don't have this discussion. They don't have no issues. They're talking about the role of the family, how you process the role of the family to be in progress in your race, your ethnicity, and your culture. We are the only people, because we're still acting like we're on those plantations. somebody might say it's white male patriarchy, but in the end, you're still reciting white female matriarchy to their sin. So it doesn't matter if you got the 60% slave plantation owner here that you're using or the 40% slave plantation owner here that you're using. At the end of the day, you should be looking at what works most, because the white woman is not throwing her man overboard where the black woman is. And I'll just end it on that. And I'll listen from here on out. This is an interesting conversation.
And I love what he said, because I often talk about this aspect of things, especially going back to the women's lib movement, right? I think that this movement, I think a lot of the women in our community didn't really understand what the movement was about. It wasn't really our fight, and because we wasn't educated enough on the movement, we just heard independence, and I think we jumped on the bandwagon, but that was their movement. I feel like that movement in itself was created to divide us in our community. Not just that, in fighting for our independence, we began to alienate our brothers. We couldn't educate them enough about what it meant for the family, because we were fighting a one-sided movement, and at the end of the day, the economic aspect of the movement wasn't so much about giving us our rights, but it was more so about being able to tax 100% of our community instead of just the males, right? So we didn't understand the economical aspect of the movement. We just heard independence and we went all in. So to me, that began the breakdown of the black family. And with that, even now, fast forward to today, I always hear women talk about, I don't need a man for this, I don't need a man for that, right? I think and accepting your role and knowing your role, we do need our brothers, but we're so busy alienating them because we are independent. And I think that's a big part of why our community is losing. And we're going to continue to lose if we don't change our mindset and understand the value in our men.
Well, you know, Rodney wanted to talk, so I'm going to give Rodney the floor, and then I'll come back on that. Go ahead, Rodney.
So I wanted to talk about this whole women's liberation movement / feminism. And I want to say that it's two different things that have been conflated into one. And from a historical perspective, what white women were seeking was what black women already had. And white women saw black women, actually, because of our circumstance, that they did not attach to the reasoning. But white women saw black women as having a lot of freedom within black society. White women saw black women working, which they were told that they shouldn't work. Black women had more of a voice in the home. And really, that whole movement, and this is from the mouth of the women who started the movement, from that whole movement, that it was white women seeking to be more like black women. White women then took it, Europeanized it, right? In other words, they made it in their image. And then they fed it back to black women. So they took something that was working for black society, and then they changed it for white society, and they called it what should be for all women. And then they gave it to black women, which has been detrimental to black people, because what we had was not perfect, but it was sure enough better than what white women had in white society. And so it's hugely important for us to understand the history of it, so we can also understand why it's not working for us. We could have improved on what we had that they wanted as it was. We could have improved on it, and our society, black society, would be better. But because they Europeanized it, and then they gave it back to us, something that was different and not beneficial to us, we suffer. That is the actual history of the women's liberation movement and how it has been falsely conflated into feminism, because by definition, black men were much more closer to feminists than white men were, simply because of the construct that white society had forced on us ever since we've been in these lands.
So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'll get it. The value of a man, the value of a man has truly been in question and play for some time now. You know, as women become more educated, as women become a larger earner, what we don't want to do is be dismissive of the role that men still play in our lives daily. You know, it's, you know, brothers out here still making things happen. Brothers out here still are fighting the fight. They're women. They care about their children, and they deserve a place at the table still. You know, there are a lot of things you can do without me, but why? Why? Why should you have to? That needs to be the starting point. Why should you have to? You got me. You can
do
a lot of things without me. But if I got you, then that time, that energy, that effort can all be saved for something else. You know, we all know the statistics. We all know the reality. When we age, being men, we tend not to be in such a good spot. We need you to save that energy to take care of our asses when we get old. Like, I mean, come on, man. Let's be real. And selfish at the same time. Like, baby, no, you keep that, because you're going to need that later on in life. I don't need you to have the gusto to still, you know, fight with me and argue with me and make me go to my appointments and make my appointments for me, because, you know, dang on well, I ain't calling the doctor. I ain't calling no doctor there. Am I dying? So, yes, no. No, there is still value in this man's woman thing, or if it so be your thing, man, woman, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But there's still value in this. And seeing that value, I think, is something that a lot of us are failing in, because there is not good representation of that. I said to someone, someone is popping like all giddy up. I'm trying to figure out who that is so I can eliminate them, because that background noise is killing me. Without seeing that, without seeing solid relationships, without seeing long-lasting relationships, a lot of folks are choosing to imitate what they see, which is nothing. It's nothing. They don't know which way to go, because they haven't seen it. I was watching a snippet of the Cosby Show the other day, and I was like, dang, when was the last time you saw on television a positive black family? Husband, wife, no outside children, moving along and raising their kids. I mean, heck, was the last show my wife and kids? Maybe? That was the last one? Maybe? Because I think Bernie Mac
may be right.
That one. You know what I'm saying? So it probably was my wife and kids. I mean, hell, DL show was off before then. So I think it was my wife and kids. You know, there's one on Netflix now, but with Kim Fields and what's the boy's name? What's that boy's name? The comedian dude from Friday. Day-Day.
Oh, Mike Epps.
Yeah, whatever. My God, yeah. But he has outside kids and all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Well, no. There's, what's that? Is it called the Neighborhood Executive Entertainer? I think that's what it is. So, hey, okay. There it is. But look how hard I had to dig for that one. I seriously. Is the Wonder Years still on? Has anybody? I watched the Wonder Years the first season.
I watched that too, but that's not on anymore.
Oh, goodness. See what I mean? Great show, too. Great show. But, yeah. But without the imagery, without the something to grab onto, too. And you know, we don't talk about the good stuff. When was the last time you saw a celebration of committed black relationships? Long-term committed. You know, people who have been married for 20, 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? There hasn't been. But, you know, that might be something to do. That very well may be something. Because people need to see that. You know, we know about the drama. We know about, you know, J-Lo and them. You know, J-Lo, with the comedian said, J-Lo like Thanos, that chick gonna get a ring. You know, like, was she on a sixth marriage or something? I don't know. She sucks. But we know about her, and we know about this one, we know about that one. But, I mean, how often we talk about Sam Jackson and his wife, and dang, what's the boy name? Denzel and his wife, and
or Angela and her husband.
I don't like to talk about that because he's still a woman, but yeah, even yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Heck, Debbie Allen and her husband. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How can we talk about that? You know what I mean? Come on, man. Let's celebrate folks. Let's put them in the spotlight. Put them on blast for something good. You know, there's an array of stories, and we don't always have to tune in for the bad news. Sometimes you need to tune. Well, that's not true. More often than not, for the good news. Go ahead, Rossi. What you got to say now? She even got quiet. It's okay. But okay, Jackie. So in this male female dynamic, when folks are out here and they're calling into your show, and you know you need to drop the name of your show. You need to drop advertisement. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Drop a commercial.
Okay, so my show is called Intimate Connections, and so basically, mainly what you know we talk about is the intimacy aspect, and not just physical, because a lot of times that's all people think about when they are thinking intimacy, and it's so much bigger than that. So the purpose for doing my show is to educate about intimacy so that we can have more deeper connection with our partners, because I feel like when you lack that understanding, how can you give something that you see one way? But more importantly is to be able to be naked with yourself first and being able to love and accept you. Because I feel like a lot of times we go into relationships, we're broken, and we're looking for that person to fix us or, as people always say, make me happy. But if you're not happy with yourself, isn't that an unfair and an impossible task to put on someone else?
So, but you said intimacy. You know, are sisters frustrated that brothers don't understand intimacy on the varying levels? They just, a lot of us just want to stop at the actual physical thing and not dial into the other parts of it.
I think women that understand it, it is frustrating, but what I find is there are still a lot of women that don't understand intimacy because they view it one way as well. This isn't something that was openly discussed in our community, I grew up in a time where parents wasn't having these type of discussions with their children. But when I had my child, I said that there would not be really too much that I wouldn't discuss because it was my responsibility to arm that child with knowledge. I think growing up, when I got married, and I said this before on your show, I didn't have an understanding of what my role was to be as a wife. And yes, I come from a two-parent family, but still, my mom's role and the person that I was, we weren't the same people. So her being a wife, I think she understood her role, but I think for me being a wife, it was a little different. There were some aspects of that marriage that I didn't want in my own. And I think, really, to be honest, when I got married, it wasn't so much so that I was in love. I needed to connect. I'm not going to say I was in love with him when we got married, but I needed him at that time. You know, like I just lost my mom. So I really didn't go into that marriage with a full understanding of what my role was to be. Later, you know, as I started reading different self-help books and just gaining a better knowledge of self, I began to understand my role as a wife, and I could be more, I could really, I'm trying to figure out the right way of saying this. I could
be more receptive or be more
right.
Receptive.
Yeah, I began to come into my own and understand what my role was and how I could add value to this man. I didn't know that going in, but I was willing to learn. And I think that's another aspect of it. You can't stay one way. You have to allow yourself to evolve. And if it's something that you lack understanding in, do some research. I went in, I was committed, but I think I kind of was thinking, but what am I committed to? I think a lot of times people aren't honest about that.
You said you went in, you weren't really in love. You said you went in, you weren't really in love, but over time you started finding your way. Finding your niche.
I found my way and I grew to love him. So, I grew to value him.
So, you know, this concept of, you know, I want to marry my best friend. Do you think that is something that comes pre-marriage or does that develop over time?
I think it depends. So, it's a couple of different variables. First off, I mean, I like the concept of marrying your best friend, but I'm going to have to take it back to the individual. How honest are you being with yourself? Because I think that's a big part of it. You can go in saying, I want to marry my best friend, or, you know, but what does that look like to you? You know what I mean? Like, are we asking ourselves these kind of questions? Having a best friend, I think that he wasn't my best friend when I got married. And I'm just talking about, you know, from personal experience. Mm-hmm. But he did become my best friend.
That's what my mama
and
said. That's what my mother said. My mother said the same thing about my stepfather. She's like, you know, we have grown into best friends, but I do want my best friend to get married. I was like, "Babe, man, yo, my mother can throw a cut card." I'm telling you, she will. Woo. She's like, "No, not at all, not at all." But she didn't say I couldn't stand him. But she's like, yeah, no, we, it took us a long time to get here. I'm happy we're here now. But, yeah,
okay.
No, not at all. You know, I'm like, okay. I think, because, you know, some folks are just, you know, we got to be, but I'm not trying to be your damn best friend. Like, you need a best friend. You don't need to be me. First off, you get to the emotional stuff. I'm confused. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Look, you start it, and then I can jump in on it, but that initiating part, yeah, I'm not good at that part. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
I was not socialized like that. I'm not good at it. I can empathize. I can sympathize. You know what I'm saying? But there's points where it's like, okay, what you want me to do? Because I just need you to tell me or give me some type of direction, and I'll take it and I'll carry it from there. But yeah, no, this is good. But it's cool. Yeah, but yeah. So yeah, me being your best friend out the gate. And you know, you got to understand, like, being my friend, being my best friend, whatever, okay, then the question becomes, well, what does that look like for me, right? Because this can't be
mm-hmm.
all about you. It got to be about us. And that's another
right.
thing that's going on right now. You know, too many folks, no, that's not true. Too many women want everything just to be about them. I just want what I want, to hell with you. You know, the man is the afterthought. You know, you know this person, so I can say his name. Mark Clark used to say all the time, you know, women have this entire concept of what their wedding day is going to look like. It's simply insert
mm-hmm.
man. That's it. It's insert man. All they got the color, the place, the time, the day, the dress. It's insert man. Insert man. And a lot of that carries into relationships. It's like I have a perception of, you know what? I think they're doing the Oprah thing. I got this vision board with my relationship. Insert man. I just need you to be boom right here. This all you need to do. Just stand right there. That's all I need from you. Just stand right there. Because when we do this, you're gonna do that. When we do this, but I don't want. No, it's not what you want. It's what I want you to do. And as long as you do what I want you to do, everything cool. But you want to do
mm-hmm.
what you want to do, because you know you actually have a thought in your head. When you think you can do something because you got a thought in your head and you're not stupid, then, you know, we got problems. Now I'm upset and I got issues. And now you have
mm-hmm.
to come to me to calm me down because you want to stay on my good side so I still win. So, you know, I'm winning all the way around. And, again, to hell with you and your feelings and your thoughts. And that's how we started off today, because it was the situation. It's like, regardless of what I want to say or need to say, it's not going to be heard because you only want to hear what you want to hear. And that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Sis, I love you to death. This just ain't about you. I matter in this situation too. You have to value me just as much as you want me to value you.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of brothers miss the boat on having that conversation because a lot of brothers just worried about the draw. And in order to get the
draw,
i.e. what Rodney said earlier, in order to keep the peace, you, okay, no problem. But the entirety of that relationship, you're suffering. He is suffering. He is being stifled. There's no growth there whatsoever. And then you mad because he ain't grown, but you've never given him the space to. Because all you want him to do is what you want him to do. And you're failing to see that because you're constantly stunning his growth, that he didn't develop into the cat that you wanted him to, or needed him to be. You know what I'm saying? Because he's always running around trying to appease you. Freak that. No. And that's my problem in dating. I don't care. I'm going to tell you. Roddy, you won't get a laugh out of this. But the 15 months I spent at Kunshan Air Force Base, South Korea, when I discovered masturbation, was the freest 15 months in my life. I'm stunned because now I'm like, yo, I'm good, sis. No, shorty, I'm good. But you, no, trust me, I'm good. I'm not sweating you for your stink box. No, we ain't doing that. I'm not going out here tripping jumping, flipping, doing back.
Did you just call some woman vagina a stank box?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
Baby,
I'm not
let me let you know.
Sure
I ain't never. Come here. Come have a seat, young man. Okay. Do not ever refer to a time portal and the only way to create another life as a stank box. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is, in fact,
whatever.
The blessed, the only organ that women have that no one else has. It is, in fact, okay, the most sacred organ within the body of the woman. Okay? It is a...
Hello.
And when you come from the gym and you all sweaty, that must be funky. That's why you need that douche. But anyhow, I'm not sweating you over that. We must know. And because you no longer have that control, I am a problem. Because I will say no and I will mean no. The young lady I used to date, we were talking about a couple months ago. We were laughing. We were talking about something. No, I needed her advice on something, and we got on the phone. Like, yo, what's going on? She's like, no. I said, like, I got a husband. She's like, oh, we good. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, yo, you know what? I said, what? She said, he said something that you said to me the other day, and I said, what? He said, yo, you don't know how to process the word no, and I bust out laughing. And she was like, yo, it's not funny. I said, yo, it is funny. I got with her after she got divorced from her first husband. Now, her first husband and her were truly a teenage love. They were together through their teen years. She was in her 30s when she and I got together. So they were together for a very long time. Well, because of that, right, again, going back to what Rodney said, he wanted to keep the peace. Well, his thing was, okay, look, this ain't going to be nothing but an argument. I ain't for that crap. Okay, yo, whatever. You know, this is what happens over time. Things that happen over time, right? Cool. I come in, right? We're dating. I'm like, yo, boom, 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 boom. She's like, but I want to do it. I'm like, yo, no, we ain't doing that. And the whole, you can, her whole face, her whole body was like, yo, what you mean? No. And I'm standing there like, are you serious? And I actually came out of my mouth with it. I was like, yo, I said no, and I meant no. So her response was, which you don't say no to me. I said, yes, I do. And I said her name, and I said, yo, you mad, you get over it. How do I have to deal with you like that? I don't live with you. I can tell you no, and I can take my ass home. You will get over in a day or two, maybe three, and we'll be fine again. But I'm not going to let you do, say anything around me. We ain't doing that. I don't know who you've been dealing with, but that ain't happening over here. Yeah, that was fun. That was hilarious. And she still has a problem with the word. But again, that's his fault. You know what I'm saying? They were together forever. He wanted to keep the peace. I dig it. I totally understand it. I totally understand. It's hell. More than likely, I would have more than likely done the same thing. You know, we're together forever. We're under the same roof. I would have tried to keep the peace too. Rodney, do you agree?
Well, what I agree in is that we want peace, and we actually go to a great extent to keep the peace that seemingly our sisters, especially our northern and western sisters, don't understand. And I would go so far as to say it is unfortunate that the ways of the north have seeped into the south. And as I'm on the hunt for a bride for my son, I'm discovering some things that I wish I was not discovering. Things that I studied in school and have read. It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to be lectured about it. And so you know it intellectually, but when you're out there actually pursuing it, in this case for my son, and seeing it, I say, sisters and brothers,
what have you seen,
we're in trouble.
What has been the most disturbing thing that you've seen?
So just to give an example, I belong to a lot of or quite a few relationship forums, and I put on relationship events myself, and I've attended them. And usually there's surveys and questionnaires. And they tend to be very similar in what the women say that they want in a brother, right? And so I took all of these questionnaires and sort of combined them, right, and got rid of duplication. And I looked at my son, and I tried to take as critical a look as I could, as after all, he is my son.
He's
educated. He's physically fit, built like a tank, got the abs, broad shoulders, really nice arms, thick like steel, right? He has that, the sisters say they like. He is polite. He is smart. He has, I think, 4 or 5 degrees now. He has a job with a career. He makes good money. He has investments. He has his own car, his own house, right? And he likes to travel. He's kind of a prankster. He likes to joke. He's not much of a partier, but he will go out. He's not much of a drinker, but he will sip on some wine, right? He knows how to cook. Mm-hmm. He knows how to clean. He knows how to do all those things. And he's great with kids. As a matter of fact, little kids love him, and he wants children. So as I go down that list, and these are things that's usually on the list, and he had 2 sisters. Well, actually, he had 4 sisters. And he knows things about women that were mysteries to many of us growing up because, you know, we share more things now, more knowledge, which is a good thing. So he has all of those things. The only negative that from the list that in general women have is that he's not over 6 feet. And that is a big one for sisters. But other than that, he checks off all of the boxes. Another negative he may have, which for some is a positive, but for many today, and especially in his generation, is a negative, is that he goes to church once a week. He prays over his food. He prays over his house. I would not call him a holy roller, but he does have a belief system. He is very knowledgeable about Black history and culture, and of course we can always learn more. So again, going down that list. So
what's the problem?
And I go, whether it's the UPS store, Walmart, the dental office, the hospital, the club, business meeting, I'm looking for single Black women for my son. And this is what I'm told.
You sound like a Nigerian woman. You sound like a Nigerian grandmother. My grandson, he's so perfect. Grandson, he's perfect. I need nice, beautiful woman for him to have many, 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 many great grandbabies. Okay, this is what I want to tell you, Mr. Rodney. Some woman has already tried and failed your son's standards. Am I right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Some lady has tried to become acquainted with your son, but after he did an assessment of her character, she came up short and he decided not to pursue?
No, actually what typically happens, and that was the last piece that I was going to say, is there's 2 things that tend to happen. And these women, professional women, have told me this, and I was shocked. He said, your son is intimidating. And that shocked me. And, of course, I needed more of an explanation besides that. What do you mean that my son is intimidating? The dude won't squash a roach. What do you mean he's intimidating? Even though he can lift the gym, he don't squash nothing. And they said, because he has all the things that I said that I wanted. And they said that intimidates. Of course, he didn't have the height. And he's definitely not perfect. I was just going by the list that women give and the things that I could legitimately tick off on that list. And the women say that he's intimidating because he does have so many things on the list. Or here's the one that really got me. They said they feel inadequate. What did they have to bring to him? Because he knows how to cook. They didn't have to cook for him. And these are the things that they said that they wanted in a man, right? But they said, what could they add to his life? And I was trying to tell them that what they could add to his life was them. He didn't need the degrees. He didn't need their money. He wanted the companionship. He wanted to build a relationship. He wanted to friendship, date, court, betrothal, jump the broom, honeymoon, wedding, a wedding, honeymoon. And then he wanted a little time for the two of them to be together. And, of course, he wants to have his own children. He wants to have his own children by one woman. That's what he wants. And those sisters said either A, he's intimidating. Two, they simply feel that they feel less than around him. And that baffled the heck out of me because I said, but this is what you all say that you want. I said, what on this list is on there that's incorrect? And most of the time they'll say, you know, might be one or two things, minus the height thing, right? But they'll still have the same answer, is that he is intimidating or that they feel inadequate. And then the third and fourth negative that he has is some women actually don't want a brother that believes in Christianity. And some women do not want a brother who is in the military. So those are the other negatives that he brings. So I wanted to share that because we hear this, that a brother has to have this and this. And, of course, this is just my son, so this is not nowhere near scientific, right? I'm just sharing my experience. But that Lee asked me, what have I experienced? That is what I have experienced.
And I think oftentimes we say we want certain things sometimes because we may not have had that. And then when we get it, I think that you don't have a clue on what to do with it once you get it. And then I feel like it still goes back to being honest with yourself. Now, one thing you said about the women feeling inadequate, that doesn't have necessarily anything to do with your son. It's the women. I feel like we are not a lot of times honest with ourselves. If I ran across someone like that, right, I wouldn't be thinking about, I'm inadequate. I would be looking more so as to how I can add value to what this man already has. But I don't think a lot of us are looking at it from that standpoint. I always ask sisters, you're asking for all of this, right? But are you able to meet a quarter of that and what you're asking for? Because that's something that you need to think about. And I think I'm surprised you didn't say this, because I hear this a lot of times from women. He's too nice. Well, what the heck does that mean?
You want somebody
to go inside your head? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Yes, they do.
It's
go through
crazy
your phone.
To me.
Go through your phone, follow you around. Yes. Oh, you too nice. What the hell? Too nice.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So I just think that, you know, we're not being honest with ourselves a lot of times. We say we want these things and we get it. We don't know how to appreciate it. And then we sabotage it sometimes when we get it because we're not ready for it. It may be something that you want, but we're not ready for it.
Oh, my goodness. So I got a question for you. Since you are the guest and our resident expert today, this is a topic that has come up in the discussion groups with just the brothers, right? And because I belong to one of those two. And one of the common things that's come out when we, you know, have that relationship discussion is they say, why mm-hmm. is it that sisters want to sabotage the peace? In other words, things are going good. She wants this. She wants me to be this. She wants me to do that. She wants me to say it this way. She wants me to dress that way. Bing, 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 bing. I'm doing all those things because I'm trying to make her happy, and I really don't care. I'm good with some shorts, some slides, and a T-shirt. But she wants me to do mm-hmm. these things, right? So I do it. And things seem to be going well. I laid it good last night, just like she liked. I took the trash out. I did the dishes, you know. I even prepared the meal Friday night because that's our little special thing. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just said this, that, or the other, or nothing. And she forces an argument. There was something of all of the goodness that happened, all of the goodness that happened. Maybe there was one thing. She wanted me to come home at this time, but I was 10 minutes late. She wanted me to do something, but I did that thing. Oh, I thought you wanted this, but you wanted that. Okay, I got it. But the fact is I didn't do that thing just like you said. In other words, the picture I'm trying to draw here is this is what the brothers were saying when we have our little discussion. And they said, why is it that when things seem to be going great, a sister, and I'm speaking sister because all the black men I deal with have sisters as mates. They said, and they just want to bring up something to have an argument. And then if I don't want to argue with her, she gets mad because I'm not arguing back. And if I try to extricate myself from the situation, then she gets mad because I walk away. So I just have to stay there and listen at her argue and tell me why I'm not talking and that I don't have any input and I don't care about her. And I'm just sitting there with my head spinning trying to figure out what happened. Everything was going so good.
Oh, man, look. Hot to cold. And
I can tell you what it is, right? A lot of times when we sabotage because a couple of things, we don't trust it, right? Secondly, we don't feel like we deserve it, or we convince ourselves that it's going too good, so we have to change the dynamic. It's the craziest thing, but it's fact. You know, I think the main thing is we feel like we don't deserve this. And we'll do anything to throw a monkey wrench in that. And that's not the issue with the man. It's our own self.
Because the men say that they feel helpless and almost mm-hmm. trapped, and they don't want their girl hurting, and they don't want to disappoint their girl. But in mm-hmm. you know, they feel like, well, I've done this and I've tried to do that, but it wasn't enough. But I really want to make her happy. So what can a man do to sue? Is it possible to even satisfy a sister nowadays?
I think it's possible, but I think even going back to that, the woman being honest with herself, especially if that woman has come into a relationship to where she's bringing all this additional baggage, some things that she never even addressed, right? So there are times, a lot of times, we get that good man, but we don't value and appreciate it because we haven't cleared our emotional warehouse of the past hurt. And if we're not doing that, we're always going to be sabotaging that relationship and making that man pay for the hurt we experienced in the past.
Wow.
That's not right.
It's not right. And we don't even realize we're doing it a lot of times.
Listen to the woman words I'm using, Rodney. That's not right. That's not fair. Silly man. This fairness doesn't apply to you.
But
Lita,
this
you
is
silly
put
man.
It down, though, and I really want to hear more from her because when it comes to this, it's because this is harming relationships, and it's also, you know, what I like to do is I like to think about what is my children or what are the children taking in? What are they seeing? What are they, you know, what are they absorbing? What's becoming a part of their norm? You know, what
mm-hmm.
seeds are we planting in them that will harvest later? And it'll either be mm-hmm. a ripe crop or bitter fruit. And so when these things are happening and I see more people in my circle, which is kind
uh-huh.
of a big circle though, but as I see more people in my circle acting more like the housewives of You Name the City, right?
Mm.
And brothers are, you know, it's not like we're perfect because we're growing up. And so we are becoming the caricatures of what is on television, going back to what Lee was saying earlier in programming.
Yeah, true.
And we're being removed from who we really are into these false constructs. But the children are taking in media, but they're also taking in the behaviors of their mom and dad, whether they're with their mom and dad or not. They're taking on whatever the mom feels and believes about the man or men who aren't there, and whatever the dad feels about the woman when the child gets a chance to spend time with him. So from your perspective and you know, from the woman's perspective, what are we planting in our children, and what type of crop are we going to have?
And it's interesting because I'm going to take it back to the womb. When women are unhappy, and I said this to a group of men, and it was kind of like a reality check because I think they didn't realize that. When we are unhappy and we're carrying a child, the baby's first emotions come from us. So if you have a nation of unhappy women, and I know that's extreme, we birth a nation of unhappy children. And then those children, it's like it carries forward. So we have to, and again, go back to being honest with ourselves. We have to be open enough that when we know that we are suffering from certain issues, we have to get some kind of help. Because if we don't, we are spreading that poison into our children. And then they can't get right. So then they grow up and they hurt other people. But when does it stop? So if we're making sure these women are, you know, and it's a big burden to carry, but if we are nurturing each other, then we would no longer be creating a nation of unhappy people. But it first starts with the woman and getting some type of counseling or something to acknowledge the pain that we feel. It's hard to meet someone nice and not be able to value that person because we're so badly broken. And a lot of it stems from childhood trauma. And that's sometimes on both sides. But we have to allow ourselves to be open enough to explore options to help us heal so that our community can begin to win. And I don't feel like that's being done. A young man told me the other day, that even in terms of men getting some kind of professional counseling, there are limited places, but there are a ton of resources for women.
Oh, yeah.
And so we continue to create this big divide in our community because we're not healing our hurts. But I think it requires a conversation, and I think that's a lot of it. We're not having these discussions.
But that goes back to what happened today, first and foremost. But that goes back to what you said earlier about creating a space, a safe space for
a safe
we
space,
men.
Yeah.
From you women. It's like, you know, if I start to open up my throat and I feel that you're going to jump down my throat, how much am I really going to say? And if I do get anything out, how much are you really taking in? Because you're just waiting, I feel that you're just waiting to pounce versus listening. Because you can't listen.
And that happens.
Right. You can't listen and talk at the same time. It's like, yo, look, I was trying to say something to you. As soon as I started, you cut me straight off, and now I'm shutting down, and you're like, well, why don't you talk to me? Why? What good is that going to do me? What good does that serve us? As soon as I start, you cut me off, you're not listening to me. You're not trying to hear what I have to say. You just were listening for whatever you wanted to hear. You keyed on that word or those words, and you took it. And that means nothing. That means nothing. But, it goes back to what I said. This can't be all about you. It has to be about us. But if you don't value me, if you don't value what I have to say or what I feel, then we will never get you.
Yeah.
Whatever you need. It really is a question of, you know, understanding. I'm sorry, I sound like a broken record, but know your role. Know your position and play your position. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't change, Rashi, but, you know, it has to change with the understanding and the knowledge of the other party that it's changing. You know, you just waking up one day, I done got cussed out by my sister. She made up this whole thing in her head about what I did or didn't do, and, you know, she walked around, booty on her shoulders, and it wasn't even like that. And I'm like, yo, I no longer argue with people who make up an entire story in their head because I'm never going to win.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to win. Absolutely.
And even if I win in this moment, it's never going to be over. Why? Because you're always going to have that perception. And I refuse to live life walking around on eggshells trying to prevent something that I never did. How are we going to get anywhere if every time I take a step, I got to think 20 times before I take one step? And as soon as I take a step, that you might misconstrue that step as me doing the very thing that you told me, that you accused me of doing. But I was not doing that at all. But because it looked like the thing that you had up in your head, now it is actually that thing, and we going back to, uh-huh. See, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not, and we're not doing it. I'm not living it. I refuse to live like that. No, not doing that. Not at all. Not at all. Because, again, never, ever, ever, ever going to win that battle. Never going to win that battle. So, nope.
I've been here listening so well because, I'm sorry, I'm going to actually have to bow out if you don't give me a second. I've been listening because, as you all know, I'm a devout single person. I'm religiously single. And so it's for because Miss Jackie, I have had every game possible ran on me. I've had the I'm not a whore, but I really am a whore game. I've had the I love you so much, do you mind typing up my business plan game? I've had the no, I am in love. Here's my naturalization papers. Can you sign them game? I've had the you understand all those psychological games that are being played out there. I've had them all. And what I decided was I don't trust my ability to choose what other people consider a normal human being capable of a normal relationship. Now, once you realize that there is something in you, you hear, I didn't say it ain't no, it ain't none. I said, I am personally incapable of finding an individual that meets the psychological criteria that I feel, could produce anything downstream or in time. So once I got tired of asking men to please stop lying about how many people you're having sex with, it's dangerous. Please stop lying about your degree of interest because it's confusing. If we are sexual buddies, let it be that. Don't keep trying to broker more attention from me than so you could be just my sex buddy, but I'm your girlfriend. Or you're my boyfriend, but I'm your sex buddy. That's what it is. Don't do that. Stop misappropriating my time. When you know you only want an hour twice a week, stop making me feel like you want an hour or two per day. You don't want it. So that when I come to you for it and I'm asking you for a level of engagement that you weren't prepared to give me, now we finna argue. There are no arguments, Ms. Jackie. There's either somebody who's understanding the reality of the matter and then there's somebody else who's on some bullshit. Okay, what you talking about, Ms. Johnson? What are you talking about, Ms. Johnson? Okay, when you start talking about, well, what's the argument? That's when you said everything was going good and she just started on an argument. What she was trying to get you to understand was that there was a level of communication that she was desiring that she wasn't happening. That was it. So you either going to talk to her or you ain't. If you don't want to talk to her, everything she say is an argument. If you don't want to talk to somebody, for real, you ain't on them and you don't want to talk, they can't say nothing to engage you. Even here go your money is going to get on your nerves. So what I want people to hear is you're going to get a lot of relationship rhetoric thrown at you as a woman, but all you get as a man is keep your paper right. Don't let yourself get too ugly, you know what I'm saying, and don't hit them. That's it. The list of what women should be doing and what we should be achieving and how we should be looking is so damn long that it rolled like toilet paper across the room. And until we do something with the disparity of what keeps, like you say, keep the peace, what behavior in a woman can keep the peace, and what behavior in a man can keep the peace, there's a disparity there. Until we address it, we're not going to have no harmony. What we're going to have is someone trying to create fake dominion over another in a relationship that's already got power issues. So who's going to be the one in power? The one who cares the least. And I'm going to tell you this again. Who has the most power in a relationship is the person who cares the least. Because they don't have nothing to lose. They don't have no expectations they have to adhere to because they don't care. So the new rule is who cares the least? Who can show or behave, make the other person believe that they care the least? And I make sure I let them all know I care the absolute least. Get away from me. So it is still some room to be. Some healing to do, Ms. Jackie. You're absolutely right. But it's not necessarily with individuals. It's with an agreed plan on what we're going to stop treating each other like, stop telling a woman to put certain clothes on. Stop telling a man to, this is what I'm saying, we don't hardly tell men not to do nothing. So I don't know what rules we have for men, but there are some for women on what we have to do and not do. And until we address it, that's what's going to be the discrepancy, not the love, because we do love each other. We ain't got no choice. It's what does that love look like? It looks like this. And when we go away from that.
Right, no, she,
then we can start talking.
Well, we got to wrap because we only got a couple minutes left. So the question was to you, Jackie, any suggestions you have as to how we can bridge these gaps that we got going on right now?
Just trying to develop open, honest communication. Because we have to start somewhere. We can't keep pointing the finger. And it does go back to individual healing. But we have to be able to, so we can spark a conversation, but it is the way that we present our information, right? You can present something and it not come out the right way. That's going to lead to an argument. So we have to be very careful in how we present information to so that we're not creating a so that the other party isn't going into defense mode. Because I believe once we start to have this open and honest communication, we can start to resolve certain things. If you said something to me, Lee, and I didn't like the way it came out, then it's my responsibility to say, but not come at you. You know, Lee, when you said so-and-so, it made me feel this way. Because you might not have thought about it. But if I'm bringing it to you and I'm presenting it in a non-confrontational way, are you going to be more open to listen?
Well,
so we have
start,
to be mindful of that.
If you start the conversation, first of all, then it's all downhill. Because at that point, we all know that we lost. If you start the conversation with, you know, you flicking your weave from one side to the other side, again, we automatically know we lost. If you start the conversation with taking one of these right here, yeah, that's over too. Because we know we lost, so. Yeah,
not. That's why it goes back to the way we're presenting it when we come to you.
Right. Rodney, you got anything to add at the end here?
I just want to say I appreciate our guest being on and being so candid. And actually, I hope that you'll come back and share some more because even though I have some years on me, I'm still open to learn and I want to be better. And I want to do my part in helping move us forward when it comes to this relationship stuff. The comment that I put in the chat is that conversation that you're talking about sounds a bit like catharsis. And what I actually wrote was, it will hurt. So we need to be prepared to receive that pain, knowing that on the other side of that pain is what we're really seeking that will heal us. So that's what I had for our good sister.
All right, well, Jack, I want you to plug your show one more time, do another commercial, let the people know where to find you.
All right. My show is called Intimate Connections. You can listen on mixstation.com every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. I also have a group called Intimacy Chronicles on Facebook. And you can also email me at she's the queen at gmail.com with show ideas, or if you want to just be a guest on the show in terms of uplifting our community with bridging the gap between men and women, definitely hit me up. And I can also be reached at 410-571-4691.
Okay. Well, thank you, sister, for your time. Thank you all for listening live, listening later. Thanks, Sister Foxy. Thanks, Brother Terry, for riding with us this morning. Everybody else that's on and just checking it out and telling you, we got to come back to this, man. We got to get this right. This, we can't keep going like this. We cannot keep going like this. And we got too many good people out here that are not connecting, and we need to make some connections for real. Other than that, as we always say about this time, we love you in advance. Anything you can do about it. Until next week, family. That would be after Rodney's birthday. Peace!